Turn your Bibles to Psalm 29. Got some fun things happening.
Psalm 29,
some fun things happening. Make a note, April 22nd, I believe is a Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday of that week, we have a guest coming. And he will be on his way to the mission field. He's heading to the Amazon. I'll give you one guess.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's going to come on the 23rd, Wednesday the 23rd. Spend the night and be here. So he'll be here for one night and one night only. Jeff Stewart is going to come and he'll be here for that Wednesday night service. We're going to have a missions night. It'll be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about his trip, his upcoming trip into the Amazon. He's going to fly into Lima, Peru, take a bush plane into the jungle with a guy. You know, he's never met him in person, but the guy's a believer. So he's going to take this bush plane in and get dropped off in the Amazon, and they know where this particular village is supposedly. And so they'll have. He said to me, he said, "Guess what my goal is?" I said, "To stay alive." He said, "No, I want to see if Amazon monkey meat is any better than Congo monkey meat." Because the last time he traveled, we saw that video about 15 years ago of him with that GoCam of him carrying a canoe through the Congo. Now he's going to go down into the Amazon. It's like hilarious. So anyway, and also I spoke with Pastor Cepeda today, and we are closing in on some dates for October for those who are interested in going to the Dominican Republic. So, very exciting. Lori is going to be leaving soon in July to Thailand,
no.
Cambodia.
Yeah.
We'll send her somewhere. We don't know where she's going. John's just glad to get a break. All right, Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon and makes them skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And his temple, and in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people in peace. So we spoke on Sunday about the voice of the Lord, how to hear God's voice. And I want to talk a little bit more about the voice of the Lord, about some of the things it does, some of the blessings that it creates in a believer's life as we get into the series of the mysterious things of God. First being the voice of the Lord. This Sunday, I think we're going to go to another aspect of this, and I think we're going to get into the guidance of the Holy Spirit on Sunday. We'll do two messages on that, and then I think we'll have our Easter messages, and then we'll go back to some of the other aspects that we're talking about, in the mysterious parts of our relationship with God. But the voice of the Lord is powerful and is full of majesty. It's very powerful, and the voice of the Lord is authoritative. God's voice carries limitless power and absolute authority. Remember, in the book of Genesis, God spoke and the worlds were formed, right? And he said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he said this, and then he said, let this happen. And then so his creativity, the creative power of the Lord, was expressed in his voice. It was the voice of the Lord that did those things. So the voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is authoritative. By his voice alone, the heavens and the earth were formed. In Luke chapter 4, verse 36, Jesus spoke with authority and power. And they were amazed at this, that even he commanded the unclean spirits to obey. And that's Luke 4:36. This is the powerful voice of the Lord. Think of that. And you and I tonight can hear this voice as we listen to his word and are transformed by it. The voice of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the thoughts and the soul and the spirit and the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This is an amazing thing, the voice of the Lord. And John 18, verses 5 and 6. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus, they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. And what happened when Jesus said, I am he? Who remembers? They fell back. This entire horde that came to arrest him fell backward at his voice. This was a demonstration of the voice of the Lord. I am he. You know, we don't think of that scene in the gospel very often. The voice of the Lord. And everyone, as soon as he said, I am he, all those that came there were going to arrest him by force. They all fell backward. He knocked them over with a declaration of who he was. I am he. And yet he still allowed them to arrest him because it was the plan of God for Christ to go to the cross. A simple declaration of his identity, I am, sent the soldiers reeling to the ground, revealing the divine nature of that spoken word. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord divides the cedars and splinters the huge cedar trees of Lebanon. These trees, you know, imagine a redwood, God just speaking and the tree exploding into splinters. That's what the psalmist is trying to express here, the powerful voice of the Lord. So when God speaks to us, he speaks to us with great power. He speaks to us with transforming power. He speaks to us with great authority. And it is very, very important to recognize that. The effect of the powerful voice of the Lord on the human heart is a beautiful thing. And God does not splinter the human heart like he would a cedar tree. But God certainly molds the heart of a human being with great power and great skill and great precision and great authority. I love that verse in the middle of that where he says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. That's Psalm 29, verse 9. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. Imagine that. The timing of life, even in the middle of nowhere where nobody sees it. You know, right now, there's all kinds of pregnancies and all kinds of birth happening in the wild that you and I don't see. Far more than any hospitals and far more than in the human race, billions and billions of births, life happening, reproduction and life happening all over the globe, all the time. And God, in his life-giving breath, the way God created the world to sustain itself, is seen in this. And the voice of the Lord, very specifically here, makes those animals give birth. It's a beautiful and powerful thing. So on one hand, you see the power and authority of the voice of the Lord. On the other hand, you see the creative, gentle, reproducing power of God's voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful and authoritative. Number two, the voice of the Lord breaks through obstacles. And I was thinking about this, and Psalm 29:15 here, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. His voice demolishes what appears to be immovable. Now, strongholds in your life, pride in your life, the resistance that we have to God, do you think that the Word of God or the words of God can annihilate a stronghold in a believer's life? They can. If that believer will receive with meekness the engrafted Word, if he sees that the Word of God and hears the Word of God as it is, this incredible, powerful, beautiful thing, he will experience the freedom of from the obstacles. Now, I love this next verse. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt, he will have whatever he says." Now, Jesus is not talking about and suggesting that you and I can make changes to the topography of the earth. However, what he is saying is, you and I can speak with authority, as God speaks with authority, and splinter the cedars. Now, the faith movement has taken this principle and turned it into kind of a name it and claim it sort of thing. But I believe if there's a spiritual obstacle in a person's way, let it be fear, let it be bitterness, let it be anxiety, you and I can study the Word of God and then speak the Word of God to those obstacles, and those obstacles will be removed, just as Jesus said. We can speak right out loud to a fear. Say, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid of this person. I'm not going to be afraid of this situation, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You take a verse like that and you speak at something that's causing fear in your life, or anxiety in your life, or fear and anxiety. I was thinking of another word. Not anticipation, but angst. She said angst. I think she meant angst. Agita. You can speak to the agita in your life. You know? But it's true, isn't it? You can take a fear. Let's say you're afraid of your financial future. You're not sure what's going to happen. There's something on the horizon. And you are literally getting ready to flinch. You're waiting for the shoe to drop. God says, hey, wait a second. My God will supply your need according to his riches and glory. Now, how many of you believe that tonight? Then you speak that to that fear. Speak it directly to that obstacle. You take the Word of God and you go right at that obstacle. So you know what? God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Go pound sand. I'm not going to listen to this accusation against God. I'm not going to be intimidated. Goliath can go, I'm going to put this smooth stone right between his eyes. This giant is coming at me. I'm going to grab the stone. I'll probably have an assistant there. I'll say, Rico, give me that stone. Out comes the stone. I put it in my sling. Shoo! Off it goes. Boom! Right in the giant's forehead. And you know what David did when he saw that giant? The Bible says he ran right at him. See, that's a fearless courage that comes from knowing the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord breaks obstacles. So those obstacles can be a number of things. And I'll tell you, whether it's fear or some kind of stronghold in your life, some kind of addiction, maybe it's a food addiction, you say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm not going to let you control me anymore. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let food control me anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to fast. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna do this or that. It's not gonna control me anymore. It's amazing, I'll tell you, just in a personal note, it's incredible. I did not realize how much I thought about food. Now you did, because I talk about it at every message. And I love food, and food's a fun thing to talk about, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it's incredible when you get up in the morning and you start planning your meals and you're thinking about this, and then you're in the middle of something and you want food. You're always thinking about food. That is a stronghold. That is a normal appetite being exploited by the atmosphere. And I think Americans are especially susceptible to that because we have access to so much food. We could literally buy anything we want, anywhere we want, in any town we want, for the most part. I mean, you can't get a decent pizza around here. But however, you can get other things. So why not speak to the stronghold through the Word of God and say, you know what, no temptation's fallen me except that which is common to all men. But God's going to provide me a way of escape, and I know the way of escape, and the way of escape is fellowship with God. The way of escape is focusing. The way of escape is worship. The way of escape is prayer, right? Yeah. Maybe you're afraid of dying. You think about death. We had a young lady here in the church for many years, and she was scared to death about dying, right? And I remember I said, you know, life and death belong to the Lord. She said, it's just so mysterious. I'm so afraid of it. I said, well, first of all, we don't have anything to be afraid of because we believe in the resurrection. I guess if we're not sure about the resurrection, we'll be a little nervous about death. Right? I mean, if you're not absolutely convinced Jesus rose from the dead, then you're probably going to be a little bit nervous about you rising from the dead. So guess what you should study if you're afraid about death? If you're afraid of death, here's a topic you ought to study, the resurrection. And I would say, get Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict, the both volumes, and convince yourself about the resurrection. Get convinced about the reality, not even the concept, the reality of the resurrection. I've taught more messages on the resurrection probably I've taught a lot of messages on the resurrection. And we got Easter coming up again, and I got a doozy for you. So, he rose from the dead. Therefore, grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? That's why I can stand here, and I'm just as convinced that Dr. Lewis is alive right now as John Stout. I can see John Stout. I can't see Dr. Lewis, but I'm just as convinced Dr. Lewis is as alive as John is. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And many others. Amen? So you speak to those fears. You speak to those obstacles, because that's what they are, they're obstacles. Had to make some major decisions a few years back. And I remember I was talking to one of my friends, and my friend said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, Graz, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I remember when she said that to me, I thought to myself, this sounds like Karen. And then I remember Karen that day said the same thing to me. It was like I had 4 or 5 people within a matter of 3 days speak right into my life about this stronghold of fear. And it's amazing. You know what? God splintered the cedar. But Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be removed. Think of that. If you speak to the obstacle, if you speak to the stronghold, if you speak to the issue, it'll be cast into the sea. So the voice of the Lord is something we participate in. We get to share in the power of the voice of the Lord when we speak by faith. That's the second thing. The Lord breaks obstacles. The voice of the Lord. Number 3, the voice of the Lord brings direction. And I love that verse in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Not some of my sheep hear my voice. All of my sheep hear my voice. And the shepherd speaks with clarity and with personal intimacy. One of the most beautiful principles is after you've been taught the Word of God for many years, and you've been in services and you learn doctrine, you learn doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. That's what doctrine is. Doctrine's not the dogmas of the church or the statement of faith. Doctrine are the teachings of the Word of God. When you learn doctrine in all of its categories, so you learn, listen to this, categorical doctrine. When you learn the categories of doctrine that the Bible provides you, right, and you learn those things, here's what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, you're going to walk into different situations. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Because you listened to your teachers. Somebody taught you the Word of God, and you listened. And as you walk in life, you're going to get direction from those doctrines. Do you understand this? You're going to get directions from doctrine. You're going to find, you know, I could be angry and bitter towards this person and lash out and add wood to the fire, or I can lay down my life as a believer and express the grace of God. There's also a time for a believer to refrain from embracing and fight. And there's times where it seems like, do I fight this time or am I quiet this time? Am I gracious this time or do I take a swing this time? Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. Sometimes you embrace, sometimes you refrain from embracing, right? Sometimes you hug, sometimes you don't hug. Sometimes you have peace, sometimes you have war. How do you know the difference in the Word of God? The Spirit of God will tell you, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Because in every situation, you'll have the restrictions of scriptural decision making, and it'll be different in each situation. In one situation, loving somebody may be enabling somebody, which you don't want to do. In another situation, you need to protect other people by fighting wrong. I had a situation now, I had to make a decision. I was very, very gracious to a particular individual for many, many months. And then the line got crossed and this person started to attack other people. And it's like, you know what? Now, for the good of an organization and for the good of my friends and for what's right, I have to fight. So now I'm going to fight. And by the way, I'm going to win, but I'm going to fight. Because I don't fight to lose when I fight. Time to fight, time to make peace. How many understand that? It's different times. So you hear, as you learn doctrine, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So I want to look at that a little closer because there's some context to that too that I think I'm leaving out. Yeah, here it is. Verse 20, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, and your eyes will see your teachers. That's verse 20. And then it says, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way you walk in it. Many Christians are never led by the Spirit of God. They're never guided by the voice of the Lord. Listen, they're never guided by the voice of the Lord because when difficulty happens, they shove teaching aside. When the bread of adversity comes, that's not the time to withdraw from your teachers. That's not the time to withdraw from preaching, from hearing God's word, from fellowshipping with God's folks, from going to your Bible studies, from being here when you ought to be here, doing what you need to do to grow in the Lord, your own personal studies, and so on and so forth. But the bread of adversity comes to all of us. Difficulty comes to every one of us. Tiredness comes. Exhaustion comes. Listen, sometimes on a Wednesday night, I am absolutely fried. And it's funny. Other days, I'm fine at 4 or 5 o'clock. But boy, when Wednesday happens, boy, do I get tired. And I know many, many people stay home on Wednesday because they're tired. Oh, you poor little baby. You're tired. Oh, you thumbsucker. You shouldn't. Listen, learn how to be quickened by God. Learn how to get up and do what you have to do. You know, how many times in the morning do you get up and you're tired, but you go to work anyway, right? How many times is my mom over the years, and my wife many times, exhausted, she still makes sure there's a meal on the table? Sometimes I'm exhausted and I have to make sure there's a meal on the table. You feed your family, don't you? You go to work, don't you? You do what you have to do when you're tired sometimes, don't you? Well, why is it when people have a little bread of adversity, they shove the teachers off into the corner? In other words, they don't draw near anymore. It's an option for them. It's one of those things, this is optional. Everything else, that's not optional. Going to work is not optional. Being with family is not optional. But boy, hearing the word of God is optional. Oh my goodness. The voice of the Lord. Job said, I need your word more than my necessary food. Though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved in a corner anymore. See, that's a mature person. That's a mature person. After a while, after many years, you come to realize the tougher the going gets, the more I need the Word of God, the more I need the fellowship, the more I need the support, the more I need to learn, the more I need to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, and when the bread of affliction and the water of affliction and the bread of adversity are on the table in front of me, I better be ready to hear the word. And the believer that does that, he'll be the one, she'll be the one, when she gets into a situation, she'll hear that voice in the back of her mind. This is the way, walk in. Here's the direction I want you to go. God will speak to that person. Number four, the voice of the Lord brings peace. The voice of the Lord brings peace. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The same voice that shakes the wilderness settles the storm. You remember that story in Mark chapter 4, verse 39? The wind begins to howl and the waves begin to crash against that little boat, and the disciples are in a panic. And the Bible says he was asleep in the boat. He arises, he rebukes the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Speak peace to my soul, God. You ever pray that prayer? My soul is like a raging sea sometimes. Lord, speak peace to my soul. But it's not going to come by osmosis. I got to open up my Bible and be ready to hear the voice of God, right? Remember what we talked about Sunday. Hearing God's voice is really about your relationship with the Word of God. It's about humility. It's about being prepared, being careful how you hear, being careful what you hear, not, you know, learning how to declutter your mind so that you can hear from God. All those things are valuable. I would listen to Sunday's message again or go over your notes. If you didn't take notes, well, it's gone. That's the benefit of taking notes. You get to grow. You know, you get to remembering things. So take a look at those notes and hearing the voice of God, and then you begin to realize when my mind is racing, God can settle my mind by speaking peace to my soul. His voice doesn't still just a sea, but the hearts of His people. And then five, and finally, the voice of the Lord raises the dead. Now, I thought this was important to add. Jesus at one point cries with a loud voice in John 11:43, "Lazarus, come forth." Just calls His name. Because His voice is eternal. It transcends time and mortality. His voice is eternal, and it transcends time and and mortality. And that's why his voice can raise the dead. John 5:25, there will come a time when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. John 5:25. And I think that's a reflection of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The rapture, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. I know what he's going to say. I can guarantee you what he's going to say. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up here. That's what he's going to say. The Lord himself will descend with a shout in the rapture. Come up here! That's what he's going to say. And he's going to raise the dead. All your ashes, or your, you know, all the decomposed bodies, your decomposing corpse will reassemble itself instantaneously into a glorified body, and your soul, which has been with God in a temporary living facility, will enter into that regenerated, brand new, glorious, glorified body, and you'll meet the Lord in the air with all the saints instantaneously in the blink of an eye. And you'll look next to you and you'll see the Apostle Paul, and you'll see John, and you'll see many saints from old. You'll see J. Vernon McGee. You'll see, the list is innumerable. You'll see all these saints and all of our friends that have gone right in the middle of the air, right above Seneca Falls, hovering right up here, and in a blink of an eye, come up here, boof, there you are. You look at each other, wow, and up into heaven you go, where you will be shocked for the first 20 minutes, I believe. Just stunned and shocked. We'll be shocked for eternity. But I want you to think about what it'll be like to have a glorified body and to be reunited with those we loved and lost, never to lose them again. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are alive, those of us who are still hanging around alive, we just, whoop, up we go. And I remember, I told you this, I don't know if you remember this or not, I began to study the rapture when I was in college, at Holyoke Community College, and I had a question. Me and Steve Fields were reading that verse in 1 Thessalonians, and I said, Steve, if we're going to meet the Lord in the air and we're alive, how are we going to get through the building if we're inside? Are we going to just be ripping holes in buildings and smashing our way through things and getting splinters from the roofing materials? I mean, what's going to happen? So I said, I went to a professor in the college. He was a math professor. And I said, Mr. Thomas, let me ask you a question. If a human body began to move at the speed of light from one point to another, what would happen to that body? He said, well, very simply, your body would immediately disintegrate as soon as it started to move. I said, why is that? He said, the friction against the air molecules, the speed of the human body. You ever see the space shuttles entering the atmosphere? That's not even the speed of light. He said, as they come in, what happens? The atmosphere, they just burn. The heat just burns. He said, if you were to move at that kind of speed, a human body with no protection on it, he said, that body would literally be disintegrated instantaneously. I said, holy cow, that's why the Bible says the mortal will put on immortal. And in a nanosecond, from the moment the shout is heard from Jesus, you get a glorified body and you go up through the building in your glorified body, which can pass through walls, as Jesus did when he walked into that upper room and said to the disciples, have you any meat? That's why he was able to do that. He was in a glorified body, and the glorified body will be able to pass through material things. Don't ask me how. I have no idea. But I can tell you this, it's going to be very groovy. It's going to be very groovy to have a glorified body. And I can't wait to get out of this thing. This old house is leaking. This old house, remember that song we played the other day, George Yells? This old house is leaking, so windows are the doors. You know, everything's leaking. And you know what? Thanks be to God that the voice of the Lord raises the dead. It's the voice of the Lord. So that very voice that'll carry us into the eternities, into the heavens, that very voice that rose Lazarus from the dead, that very voice that splintered the cedars of Lebanon, that voice is the powerful voice that, number one, can transform you and I into the image of Christ. Number two, can deliver us from strongholds. And number three, can remove obstacles from our lives. How many of you are excited about the voice of the Lord tonight? That's a pretty exciting thing, isn't it? The voice of the Lord. It's a great song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, by the way, called The Voice of the Lord. See if you can pull it up. That's a great song. Phillips, Craig, and Dean, The Voice of the Lord. So remember the key verse being Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord's voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Boy, what a great thing it is, the voice of the Lord. Amen? All right.